हरि ओम सहनावगतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 60.
Mahesh, I have a question.
You have a question?
Yeah.
You also have a question.
You mentioned that those who are Radhana Bhakti, they follow Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti very perfectly. So is the reverse also true?
Is the reverse true? It means those who are on the path of Raganuga, they follow Vaidhi very nicely. Does that mean that those who are on the path of Vaidhi don't follow it very nicely?
No. Those who are following perfect Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti very strictly, those are definitely Raganuga Sattva. Is that true?
If someone's following the Vaidhi very perfectly, does that automatically mean that they're Raganugas? No. As we said, anywhere between, because it's a matter of a mood, not in what you're doing. All we're saying is that, because the tendency is that the idea is that if someone's falling rag, he doesn't follow things so nicely. But the point is that they do follow things nicely. Because the whole point, even the Uttama, you know, when he's in pastimes, they always consider themselves a neophyte. But the standard of lifestyle and occupation is that of a Madhyama. Therefore, they preach. So the idea that I'm advanced and all that, it's a problem. So you'll see it predominantly in neophytes, but you can see it in anyone. So it's one of the things one has to be careful of. It's, what's his name? Haridas Thakur, that he mentions it. That coming to the platform of Bhava Bhakti, that if you're not careful and maintain the concept that I am advanced and I am the guru of devotees, then you can get stuck on that platform of Bhava. You won't move forward. So therefore you'll take birth in the, you know, Gokul pastimes. You can do hundreds of times and never move past. In a sense. So the whole point is this idea that I am advanced, so therefore I don't have to follow the rules or this or that. It's not only the aspect, oh, we'll say, oh, it's humility and all that, but it will get in the way of Bhava Bhakti. Because it's impersonalism. It comes down to, which is it? I am advanced will be, I'm the controller, and I am the, guru of devotees will be I'm the enjoyer. Right? Because from there you have dhanam, jhanam, so that whole thing comes from there. So it has to be careful, and that also, as we mentioned before, thinking that, I will become Mother Yashoda like that. So that's also impersonalism, because they are people and you can't become them, just like you can't become Krishna. You say emerge in Brahman, it's not going to happen. Okay. It is not possible for a sadhana siddha living being to become the father and mother of Krishna, for Krishna's father and mother are already designated. But by following the principles exhibited by Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and their associates, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, ordinary living beings may attain such affection as exhibited by Nanda and Yashoda. Right, so they may have that same affection of serving Krishna in that way. That may be there. But to have the position, their position, that's not going to happen.
Not a doubt, I heard, it was asked, that you need to see this. There is a reason that they are need to see this. the quality of their devotion and the affection they have for Krishna is very great. So when we talk about the same affection could be achieved by sadhakas, we talk about the quality, not the intensity.
Yeah, the quality, not the quantity. It's just like we have 50 of Krishna's qualities. Does that make us equal? You know, that's why the example is given. A drop of water from the ocean in the ocean. So the whole point is they're always going to be, ahead of us, leading us. In other words, they set the standards and they set the flavor and everything and what's happening in the pastimes. We assist in those. Because there's just always that idea that I can become, you know. The you are that means we try to take it, you know, by position, quantity, and all these things like that.
So that's the inherent impersonalism.
Yes. That's why we have to be very careful of it. We have to know what's the nature of it from all the different angles. So directly the Mayavad philosophy as it is being, you know, mentioned by Shankaracharya, that it may be very rare we come across a person that actually knows that, you know, practices it, preaches it like this. But the principles on which it's based, then that's just the standard thing. Otherwise, why would it become popular unless it's something that the conditioned living entity could relate to? So then we have to see is that in this case, you know, this idea of Raganuga Bhakti, you can have that impersonalism that I will become Mother Yashoda. The same way as you have it in the element of the impersonalism where one uses the platform of pranamaya as a platform of consciousness instead of anandamaya. And then thinking that it's so broad and accommodating, but not understanding it's broad and accommodating because it's impersonal. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole point is, you know, I support trees, but it's impersonal because it's just any tree. No tree special. It's just all trees, just trees. So it's not actually personal where there's a direct relationship. Right? You know, because I say that the tree they chain themselves to is just that their chains and the tree and themselves and where it's situated work. It's not that that tree specifically is the tree that they have to. You know what I'm saying? That's that. When Drona and Dara were requested to beget children, they chose to come to this world to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son, Krishna. Krishna's appearance means Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chadushkritam. Bhagavad Gita 4:8. The devotees are protected and the miscreants are vanquished. Whenever Krishna comes, he distributes the highest goal of life, devotional service. Right? So that's what we're saying is all these other things. Impersonalism is below this. And then when we apply impersonalism into other areas, then it becomes even more of a... He appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the same purpose, because unless one comes to devotional service, one cannot be delivered from the miseries of the material world. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Right, so we may work with the material world, but the miseries of the material world will remain. Now, if you're fully Krishna conscious, then you're unaffected by those. Though it's not that it's not in that environment. But it doesn't affect you. It means it doesn't affect your Krishna consciousness. Right? But if we're expecting that there will be no unfavorable environments, then that's not realistic. We are in the material world. Because the point is that you're protected and you're always Krishna conscious. Right? And at some point the obstacle will be removed. It means if Krishna comes to remove the miscreants, how do you remove them if they're not there? And if they're there, then there's difficulties. But one's unaffected by those. That's the point. It's not whether there's a difficulty or not, it's whether one's unaffected.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's not that, oh, if everything's perfect, then we'll be great. Sometimes we're feeling very bad about something, and someone comes along and has made a really nice material arrangement, but we don't care. Because we're feeling bad. Just the opposite. We may be in a great mood. And even things don't go right, we don't care. We just laugh. So we can see is in reality, it's not about the environment. It's about the state of our mood, our consciousness. So therefore, if we're Krishna conscious, we're unaffected by these things. That's actually what we want. This idea is, no, we have to have certain material facilities, you know, that we expect from bhakti, or bhakti will prosper under with these particular facilities. No. It's a matter of what gives rise to the consciousness. It's not the facility itself. Right? Bhakti is independent. Yes?
So can we say that the Uttama Adhikari is completely unaffected by the external?
Yes.
And then Madhyama Adhikari, he feels the effect, but his devotional service is fixed.
It's fixed, yes.
And then Kanishtha, he's...
Yes. But you'll also see is within in those two, the he may be less affected or more affected or not affected by most situations, and maybe there's still a few he is. So it's just a matter of, until anartha nivritti is complete or 100%, then there'll always be something. But the point is what we're saying in bhava, that anartha nivritti being complete means there is no physical anartas. Right? Means on the gross or subtle platform. But you still have the fragrance of those anartas in the beginning stages of bhava. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, in smaranadasa, varanadasa, and shravanadasa, those three stages, there's that flavor is still there, and that's what you're getting rid of. You're getting rid of that flavor and then creating that natural spontaneity. That's where that spontaneous devotional service comes up. Because purvarag means it's fully 100% spontaneous and exclusively attached to Krishna and attracted to Krishna. That's what makes purvarag. So if one is attached to Krishna and something else, then it's not complete. But if it's to Krishna and nothing else, then you'd say it's complete. Then now it's a matter of intensity, right? Which will come by association in the practical point. So it's always devotional services being applied. So we're applying it as sadhana because this is how it's supposed to go. But we may not have the devotion. And there you're applying it to gain that devotion. And then when they do have the devotion, they still apply it. That's what we're meaning. The beauty of devotional service is the form doesn't change. There's not a different form. You know, it's still the same thing. And what we're given is the closest to Vrindavan. And if we're saying, oh, but there's so many, you know, the deity worship and the rules and regulations and the yajnas and mantras and all that, but as we've read with Mother Jashoda and Nanda Baba, they use them. They're there. They have Brahmins, they have mantras, they have rituals. But the difference is it's completely just on that spontaneous platform to benefit Krishna, please Krishna. You know, is that? So it's the same process. It's just that as our consciousness changes, the emphasis changes. Just like our consciousness is material, therefore when the material situation goes bad, we become very affected. While, let us say, same situation, one has become advanced in devotional service, one is unaffected. It doesn't. The situation is the same. So what you'll do in the situation is the same. Right? But the consciousness is different. Does that make sense? You have your good friend, they've lost their pet hamster, like that. So the things that you would say if you're also affected and attached, and the things that you would say if you're unaffected and not attached, would be the same.
Emotion.
Huh?
feelings would be different, the speech you say?
It would be better performed as a pure devotee than it would be the other way. Same lines, just, you know, because, like, who cares about the guy's hamster? Why does he have a hamster anyway? He's a devotee. You know, but, you know, you still, you have to, how do you say, commiserate. You know? Yes, we have a conflict here. So. It's not about the hamster. Yours is about the hamster? No.
Can we say that devotee progresses from Kanishtha to Madhyam, even though they are affected mentally by the situation, the problems or whatever, their devotional service is not affected?
Yeah, no, they continue. But you'll see is that even though the form of devotional service is not affected, and that's good, that's steady, but now if your consciousness would also not be affected, that's even better. Mm-hmm. Right? So that, you see, comes up just with practice as it goes. You know, and especially once there's a taste, then these other things don't have as much importance as they used to. Yeah. So if there is a duty within that, let us just say, just for an example, and we'll also take a very arbitrary example, right? So someone spends many, 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 many hours on Facebook. Okay? Right? Just arbitrary, right? Yeah. So, now, if we're more, you know, how you say, less situated, means we'll be on there, it may even get in the way of some of our service. Right? So, that's a problem. But as it becomes steady, then we'll only be on Facebook when it doesn't affect our service. Right? And so, our service is steady. And so, instead of, you know, first thing in the morning when you wake up, have to check what's there, or just after your bath, or check what's there, and halfway through Mangal Arati, check what's there, or just after while the announcements are going on, then check what's there, and then while everybody else is checking, you know, chanting, you're in the back checking what's there so that you can go on. But definitely by the, you know, the break when you're out eating the pizza, that's definitely going to check, because what else do you do when you eat pizza, right? You know? Right? You know, so like that, you might just say, okay, only at this time of day, then we will check. Right? Does that make sense? So, like that. So you regulate it, and so your service goes on nicely, it's undisturbed, but you may still be putting in the same amount of activity. But now, let us say, as you get a taste for chanting the holy name and that, if there was a taste in the Facebook involvement, that in actuality, for what you did for communication, for your service, or for, you know, just what you need to know, that instead of, you know, let's say, we don't want to be too extreme, so what should I say, 3 hours on Facebook? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was going to say 4, but I thought, no, people would say, no, that's enough. That's too extreme. So that was instead of saying 6, but yeah, okay, so 3. So 3 hours, we may find we only need to spend 1 hour, 45 minutes, or half an hour. So because we have the taste, there's no need to get a taste from the Facebook, then we'll drop that. That's what we meant the other day when we were saying about one will only, as one advances, then one gives up those duties that are because of desire, not because they actually need to be. Right? You know, just like, so it's an example of that. It's something that can be done. It does fit within the, you know, social context, let's say, of family life. But at the same time, it's not actually necessary as a duty. It's not against duties. It's within that social interaction and all that. But it's not necessary. So therefore, when one becomes to that point of getting taste, one will reduce it down to just what's required. So you have to have a certain amount of knowledge, a certain amount of this, a certain amount of interaction to make things work. And so that much you do. So if it takes half an hour, you only do half an hour. If it takes an hour, you do that. But you don't just for, you know, interest's sake are there for 3 hours. And that's on the regular days. We're not counting weekends where, you know. Okay. Does that make sense? So that's the aspect, is when that taste is there, then all that will start to adjust. So then these aspects we talk about, that you can do all those things, you know, like Priyavrata and all them, they're performing all their duties, or Yudhishthira, Mars, but at the same time fully Krishna conscious, because they only do how much is necessary. They don't do anything less. Right? Like nobody's saying, well, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he has the potential to be the greatest king because he's such a nice devotee and all good qualities, but because of all that devotional service, he doesn't really get into the, right down to the detail of everything like that. So in that way, you know, we might have to have some other people along with him, but if he's the figurehead, then at least he could create the flavor, but, you know, maybe the ministers or the other things like that would have to actually be, you know, a little bit more practical, you know. We don't hear that. So that means he doesn't do anything less than is necessary either, but neither more. So it's perfect, it's balanced. So then it works. So that's what we're looking at, is that these are the progression of devotional service. So if we know that's there, then we'll start to desire that, start to endeavor for that. Because the first thing in any quality that or activity that is either a distraction, means it's a distraction. Either it's a legal distraction or it's an illegal distraction. The first thing is regulation. So that's what we're saying. If at any time you can look on the internet, then it will just remain a distraction. But if you limit it only at certain times, only at certain places, then it starts to limit. Though you may be spending the same amount of time, but it gives a different flavor. In other words, something that is legal has less flavor than something that's illegal. Right? So as soon as that, you know, okay, yes, after breakfast, you know, and before going off to other services, at that time I can look, or in the afternoon, you know, between 4 and 6 you can look, that kind, then it doesn't have the same flavor, because you want to look when you feel like it. Otherwise, you're looking because that's the time. It'll give some taste and like that, but it won't give as much. That's why those who use the Vedic culture, it situates you in the mode of goodness. Therefore, the material desires, even though you're engaged in them like those who aren't devotees, but because of the regulation and the consideration, it loses that taste. Though the benefit you get for it is greater. That's the fun part. You follow the Vedic system, the material facilities is greater than if you don't. But with time, the taste is less. While the other ones, it seems that you get, you know, so much more, but you don't if you look at it. And the interest is so much more, but then it wanes until you actually don't want it anymore and look for something else. So the Vedic system is deal with the desire and it gets rid of that kind of thing. Not that it switches from one to the next, to the next, to the next. That's the whole idea. Otherwise, how do you reduce? How do you go on from Grihastha to Vanaprastha unless you've reduced the volume? Mm-hmm. Right? You still may have core, you know, desires, mm-hmm. but the variety of that, mm-hmm. you know, like, how you say, going out to see something is going for a walk, you know, around Mayapur, or going on a vacation is going to Vrindavan, as opposed to, well, you know, we went to Bali last year, and so in Thailand the year before, and all that. Hey, what about Vietnam and all that? Yeah, but I'm getting tired of all the Oriental stuff. Can't we do something else like that? You know, so like this. You know, so it's reduced down. So it still may be there, that need for some, but it's getting less and less, and it's connected to Krishna. So then it doesn't matter. You go to Vrindavan, what's the problem? Does that make sense? Yeah, so it works. So, okay. Get it wrong. Okay. You have?
I was thinking from the previous discussion is that once Sambandha and Abhideya are firmly established, remain the same all the time. It's different only in Prayoga.
Yes. So becoming steady means the Sambandha Abhideya and your, you know, what your goal is, the Prayojana, is fixed. Now your realization of that Prayojana, that's then what's developing. But the activity is, that's why you see, is that for generally anyone who joins and is a little serious, then for 3 to 4 years, depends on them, you know, or let's say nowadays, 2 to 4 years, maybe 2 to 3, whatever, it's that, then they're quite absorbed. Because it takes that long to actually get adjusted to all the practices and get down all the things and balance everything like that. Now, if in doing that one doesn't move forward in the realization of what you're doing and the depth, you know, in other words, the boiling the milk part, then one will start to get distracted. Because if you're still on the conditioned platform, you need something to inspire that conditioning. So if it's not within the context of devotional service or the Vedic culture, then you'll get distracted. So then that's why is that those who then accept the Vedic culture but don't move forward in devotional service get distracted by all the, you know, the how do you say, the, what would be the only thing that comes to mind is bells and whistles of the Vedic system, you know, but all the trappings. And if you're not inclined towards the Vedic, you don't have that piety, then it'll bring up all the trappings of the modern. Or whatever it was your conditioning. So if you were into, you know, medieval or something like that, that will come back up. You know, the point is it'll just go back to your conditioning. You know, that's the Punar Musika Baba. You will go back to whatever the mouse was before. So that's the aspect. So that's why then the deepening of, you know, it's just like Prabhupada was trying to bring the movement up to a standard by, you know, every year doubling. So devotees were preaching more, distributing more books, making more devotees, opening more temples, doing all these things, the activities, the festivals, the standard of deed, everything was increasing up to a point. After that, he didn't say double it. Now he said boil the milk. So in other words, now is the quality of it. In other words, the quantity, which is what generally materialists see, has now come up to a point that you really have to endeavor. Now you're working as hard as the karmis. They're working for Maya, you're working for Krishna. Now increase the quality of what you're doing. So that's the meaning there. Then the quality of the devotional service and everything like that, and then that works very nicely. But then if we just continue on with the same formula, then it becomes a problem. Because then we think it's that the externals is what's there, and after a while you need variety, there's no taste, and all that, and so then, you know, they'll come up with a philosophy, I've lost taste in it, so that means it's bad. You know? Rather than, no, there's people that are still doing it. You know? Is that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that boiling the milk, getting down and seeing. That's why we're analyzing the difference between, you know, materialistic thing, mixed devotional service, pure devotional service. So you know what's material, you know what's spiritual. Now, we look at ourselves, which is the mix. What's the mix? Where are we situated in this mix? Is it more bhakti? Is it more materialism? You know, where do we have the areas of faith in Krishna where we don't? You know, so those kind of things, then we look at it, and then, but not from the point to get all bent out of shape, the point of just to, you know, see, okay, so those areas we have to be a little more cautious of. So if there's anything you can do about it, you do it, and if not, then you simply absorb yourself in your devotional service. Because if, in other words, if you don't have the knowledge and skills of which to do it, the only way you'll get it is through devotional service, because you're not going to get it from your karma. It's not going to get it from some self-help book. Because the point is you look at the self-help book, you see the line, you see it, you can apply it, then that means it was there, you couldn't articulate it. Others see it, and then they talk about it, and this and that, it's not going to happen. It's just never going to happen. But by devotional service, then they may be able to. But it's by bhakti, not by their karma. That's why we say Krishna karma. You can do things outside of that. But it's what Krishna wants. So if you're not trying to please Krishna, you're trying to please yourself, then how is it going to happen? Oh, we're doing devotional service, so I'll do whatever I like. Then how can you do whatever you like? Because you have a condition. You can only do what you can do. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole thing, that boiling the milk then makes it clear what actually you're doing, what actually position you're on. Mm-hmm. So I think Bhakti Vinod Thakur recommends, you know, that one should be regularly doing this, but if nothing else, he says, like, let's say, even every Ekadasi, review your devotional service, what advancements have been made, mm-hmm. where are the, you know, where are the strengths, where are the weaknesses, how to progress. So that's, you know, that's manina, you know, that's mm-hmm. being contemplated. Is that okay?
You sure you want to follow that?
Means a lower level based on what? I mean, how? What angle are you taking here before we take things in a wrong direction? Lower level, you mean more materialistic? Okay, yes. So in other words, the more intense here, the more materially tangled. That's why it's said, that's why that aspect of those who get more materially emotional, more involved in all that, that's considered a lower level. That's why it says Vaishya Shudras, women, friend of the twice born. Because what's the common point amongst them? They tend to get more materially absorbed and take it more seriously. The intensity of it is more important to them. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah, okay.
It's a much masculine approach. Less rasa,
less rasa will be higher level. They're progressing if they're going between material rasa to no rasa to spiritual rasa. But the ladies will just switch it, as you said, where the intensity of rasa. So as the focus becomes on spiritual activities and tastes, then it's already spiritual. But the difficulty is, because it's about taste, until we're fixed in our taste, then at any moment it can switch back to material taste. You know what I'm saying? So that's why one can be in the temple, have this very nice spiritual experience, and then at the next moment get totally absorbed in Facebook. Because it's an intensity. So because we're on that level of intensity, therefore when we go into the material, we can go into it at that intensity. And it gives us a taste, and it may be some time before we notice that this doesn't give the satisfaction of the other. So what happens is this: the intelligence, as we said, is different. So it's one or the other. So you can't go into this neutral state in between to keep yourself out of the mundane. So what happens is you start to discriminate between, as by devotional service the intelligence increases, you can see that the emotional taste gained, or the intensity in devotional service, is better than that than what's not. Therefore, then one would take up the devotional ones and leave the other ones. So it is through intelligence, but it's through direct experience. So because direct experience is considered third class intelligence, that's why it's less intelligent. Well, the masculine principle could learn from just hearing or just seeing. I've heard it, I'm not quite sure, I don't realize it, then I see it in front of me. Now I'm convinced. But the feminine nature is that unless you experience it, it's not understood. That's why that's the other reason it's said. But the point is still one can use that to advantage, because you're always experiencing something. So then if you see it in connection with Krishna, and you see the experience there, how it's better than the experience of not seeing a connection with Krishna, you understand? Then that third class intelligence, or that feminine nature of just rasa, works perfectly. You understand? Because the ladies will look at it and see the experience, while the man's just looking at the mechanics, so he may ignore the experience. So the woman, it's not right, and it's not giving a good experience, then she'll just give it up. Especially if, you know, religiously you're not supposed to do that. And then those things you should do, she does them, and if it goes nicely, she's into them. Right? Well, the masculine nature, he's thinking, no, if I do like this, this will give this result. Even though he's getting a bad experience, he may finesse it, because he's thinking that, no, when it works out, then it'll all be good. But the woman's already figured out way before. So then the women just sit around and, you know, how you say, the men say their stuff and they just roll their eyes and because they know it's not getting anywhere. But the man's got to do what a man's got to do. And so when he does figure it out, then depending upon what it is, she can either say, I told you so, and then start a whole riot like that, and then he feels bad about his reading like this, or she just, oh, nice, it's just, you know, like this. So that's the whole point. It's just how much control you want. So in other words, the greater the submission, the greater the control. The less the submission, the less the control. So the modern thing is, no, I'll be less submissive, I'll control more, but actually the less you submit, the less you control. So that's the whole thing, is that, you know, more smart, then he just, it goes. So that's the whole thing, is they both have their advantage. The same way, then, with the masculine, when the woman can't do that, can't switch, she can't go to the neutral, he understands she can't go to the neutral. So he tries to arrange so there's the maximum amount of positive spiritual experiences so that she gets that taste, and then she can switch. He doesn't say, oh, this is stupid, why you ladies do this, because that's just the way it is. So that's the whole point. Men are men, women are women. That's understood, then it works fine. So it doesn't matter. The whole point is it's pointed out so you know what it is. Does that make sense? So in other words, let us say you've had some experiences, but you're not experiencing right now, but you've had some experiences. So if someone says, oh, if you do this, it's bad. You've had experiences. They can go, yeah, yeah. So in that way, you've learned by hearing, but it's based on your experience. But you're still doing, rather than, oh, well, let's just check it out. You know what I'm saying? So in this way, then everybody tries to use a better quality of intelligence for the higher purpose. Does that make sense? Then it works. So because the real point is, the point's not the attachment. The point's that we're attached to Maya, not Krishna. So that's the whole point, is all the qualities that will be the weakness of the women, because she's more absorbed in the material energy. If she switches those to Krishna, she's actually better situated. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that one has to know what one has and use it to advantage. So then one understands the feminine nature and uses that to one's advantage in advancing in devotional service. And one understands the masculine, uses that to advantage, and advances in devotional service. Because in the spiritual world, you don't have to worry about conditioning, but here you do. Right? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, I remember seeing somebody, I think I mentioned this before, there was some guy in a big muscle car, you know, and he was at the light, and, you know, he's one of those kind of guys that likes to show off that he's got a muscle car. And so then he, you know, is there at the light, you know, revving the engine, you know, the car's turning, you know, it's, you know, you can whole thing, you know, just there, you know, the waiting for the light to turn. And then this other person, who actually, the other guy was just an enthusiast. The other guy, the second guy actually was a drag racer, right? And they're sitting in a Mini, you know, which in America at that time, that's the smallest car. You don't get any smaller, right? They didn't have the, was it the C2 Citroen? Yeah. They didn't have that or like that. So he just holds back a little bit, right? And then he times it because he drag races, so he knows how to time the lights, and he sees the other lights, how they're switching and everything like that, because you see the yellow on the other one. The other guy just looks at the red. But he looks at the other light and sees the yellow. And as soon as the yellow comes, he's moving. Right? As soon as he's moving, then there's a line. You don't want to cross the what do you call it? The
stop line?
No, the zebra cross. Yeah, the where the pedestrians go. Crosswalk, yeah, until that moment. So he, at that moment it turns green, they're both at the one, but the one who knows drag race is already moving. And the other guy is just starting. So even if he really just goes for it, he'll be burning around, he'll doing all these things, not getting anywhere. So here you have the littlest, dinkiest car that has no, how you say, customizing, you know, fancy this, that. No, just plain. The other guy's like, you know, to the max, whatever he can do. And you see this little car just off in the future, you know, like that, you know. So that's the point, is that you know what you're doing, then it doesn't matter. So the point is the feminine mentality may be a disadvantage on one level, but it can be an advantage in another. You just know what it is and use it to its strengths. And then the masculine has it and it use it to its strengths, because both of them have a strength and a weakness. So it doesn't matter. So that's masculine and feminine. Then you have, you know, what varna, what ashram, so you know the strength and weakness and apply it. It's always going to be good. So for Krishna, it doesn't matter. That's the thing. We make it into it matters. Oh, I don't want to be this. No one wants to be the Shudra. Like that. You know, so, but the whole point is that that's the, it doesn't matter. It works to advantage. Is that what I'm saying? Yeah. You had something? Or? No, something?
Okay. This great desire for women to, have facilities, just houses, all of these interiors and all of these things. Are they especially like, are they greater like when the men are like in this vacuum, like this renounced stage, but it's not like
interactive? Maybe. I mean, if we want to get into the whole psychology, no. We may have that. But the point is that that's why duties are there. Everyone does the duties, everyone plays the part. You know, people a lot of times absolutely don't like this explanation, but it's the reality, is that you play the part, it's good. People pay money to see a drama, and they expect them to say their lines, wear the costume, you know, how they move about on the stage, and their all that, and their tone of voice, and all that. The better it is towards what's reality, then you feel it was very inspiring. So the whole point is on the material platform, that it's we don't define what has to be done. Krishna's defined what has to be done. And so if we just follow it, it works. Some people say, oh, that's artificial, I want real. There is no real in the material world. Right? You know, it's just like you have the box of juice and it's called real. Yeah. Yeah? But look at the ingredients. How real is it? You know, it's reconstituted. That means, you know.
There's water and sugar.
Yeah. So the point is this idea that there is such a thing as real in the material world, though it's not. We have an attachment to something that's unreal. So if someone plays the part, it works. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So all it is that, yeah, that's all it is. And so that's why duties are there. That's why the Vedic culture is there. Because everyone plays their part, everyone's satisfied. Right? And it's not that, well, everybody else has to play their part, but I don't have to. Right?
No.
You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, you know, how you say? It's just the time for, Jesus to start his song, and then Judas decides, no, I want to sing that part. I've always wanted to sing that song. You know, every night he sings it. Why can't I sing it tonight? And so then when he starts to sing it, then, you know, it's a bit weird. So that's the whole point. Not that everybody else has to do, and I don't, which is generally your standard. It's like everybody else, why aren't they doing this? They're in the Dom. How can they do this and all that? This is nonsense, like that. But myself, no, but you know, why don't they understand? You know, I'm just trying my best, and they're all Dom. Why can't they understand? You know, so it's like that. It's always, does that make sense? Pretty standard. So, we have to understand is that that's why the Vedic culture is what it is, because you follow it, whatever you're looking for materially, that's the only way you'll get it. Say on the other way, and then let us look at it. In reality, how many moments are there that they have? It can't be many. Otherwise, if there's so many moments that's always happening dynamic, why are people still talking about something that happened before? You know, so I gave the example, you know, the old guys, you know, now in their wheelchair, they're still talking about World War II, you know, storming the beach at Normandy and like that, or raising the flag at, you know, wherever it was in Okinawa, like that. You know, they're still talking about that, or, you know, they're talking about that concert, the concert that happened 20 years ago, or... You know what I'm saying? You know, see, they talk about that, but it's gone. So that was a moment. It shocked everyone, you know. Mm-hmm. Jimmy played the guitar with his teeth, and then afterwards he lit it on fire, right? You know, but he didn't do that every time. You know, it's not that easy to get those guitars, right? In other words, there's an old one, he had another one, that he decided he's going to burn it. So, but he doesn't do that with his other one, you know, no question. You know what I'm saying? So you just don't do that. And after his dentist told him, you know, that those chips in his teeth are from playing the guitar like that, then he didn't do that anymore, right? You know, does that make sense? You know, but it's like that. So you just, it's a moment, and that's it. So there aren't all these things. But in the Vedic, you see, it's constantly going on, and their lifestyle is going on to the point where you don't have to explain it, because it's just standard stuff. Does that make sense? So that's then the whole point, is that that's why the Vedic is given, because that's the script. That's the role. But when everybody just wants to do whatever they want, real annoyance. You know what I'm saying? Real annoyance. So that's the whole point, is that everybody plays their part. And the better they play their part, and that's what we were discussing before, the Madhyama can play the part actually better than the Kanishtha, because he's not attached. If you're not attached, it's so much easier. It's like an activity you do every day. You do it perfectly. But then something comes up, let's say, you cook something every time, it's always perfect. But now, you know, there's going to be some special people are going to come over and this and that and all. Now you're worried about what they're going to think, this and that. Now you don't cook it so perfectly. So that's the point. Detachment actually means you do it better. But and from the point of the karmi and the jnani, in other words, from the materialistic point of view, then being detached means I don't do anything. But the Vedic is, I'm unattached, therefore I'm able to do it nicely. If I'm attached, I won't do it as good. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. That's what's not understood. That's why the Vedic culture is saying, no, it's too old-fashioned, it's no archaic. No, it's so far ahead of the curve that these, you know, how you say, people can't understand. It's just so far ahead. You know, and with time, you'll see, take every last thing we do in Krishna consciousness as a lifestyle, either as it is or the principle of it, and you will see over the years, and have seen over the years since the 60s, all those things at some point become something that the karmis talk about, that this is really good. But even though it is good, they can't maintain it because of the modes of nature and their variety. But if they actually analyze it, they'll see is everything that we do is actually superior to anything they do. Because it's not us. It's the Vedic culture. It's Krishna. He made the world. He gave the Vedic culture how to live in the world. Why won't it match? Does that make sense? You know, you have the iPhone, you don't use a Samsung cover. Right? That's just how it works, yeah, obviously. So the material world's made by Krishna, and you follow the rules of the material world given by Krishna. You don't make up your own rules. Yeah. So that's then how it works. So,
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki
Jai
Jai Nitai Gaur Pranam.